Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broadbrick. He's the senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, the overall markets, again, very mixed today. Some indices down, some just barely holding on. What's your take on the markets?
Well, I told subscribers in two of my publications to add more bearish positions. I'm just turning more bearish on the market. What we saw Tuesday, when the market started off well and then the Dow ended down more than 400 points, that's not the sign of a healthy market. That's the sign that things want to go lower. This was despite the fact that we saw China lift some restrictions for COVID, and we saw Chairman Powell of the Fed be a bit more, I don't want to say mealy-mouthed, let's say equivocating about how high we would have to raise rates. Despite these things, the market finds no reason to rally. And we just had a very short-lived rally, but we've had like four of them since the beginning of the year. Each one has led to further disaster. So since we just had that rally end, I say let's add more bearish positions. I'm not bearish on oil, though. Even though oil stocks are down, as you and I talked, that's a buying opportunity, because all the charts that I'm looking at point to a global oil supply-demand squeeze. Heck, India is normally a gasoline exporter, but it has such demand there now, it has to import gasoline. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot going on that's very bullish for oil, not so much bullish for the rest of the economy.
When you're in a market like that, what kind of strategies do you play?
Long oil and oil stocks, and add some either puts or some kind of ETFs that are inverse to broad market. That's what I would do. Also, the stocks you can buy, see, this is part of a larger rotation we're seeing from growth to value. And, in fact, in this most recent bounce that we just had, a lot of beaten-down growth stocks really ripped higher. They're what led the market higher. That is a trap for the bulls, because that is not going to work out for them. These stocks haven't changed. They still have to borrow money in order to continue doing business, much like Twitter, for an example. And so with interest rates going higher, it gets more expensive for them to do business. And we haven't seen Wall Street bring down earning estimates for most of the S&P 500, which means that they're only set up for disappointment. So, you know, I mean, this probably isn't going to end well for a lot of people, but a lot of people have never really dealt with an extended bear market. We had a brief one last year, and they've certainly never dealt with a recession. There are people on Wall Street managing millions and millions of dollars who've never traded through a recession. That should scare the heck out of anyone who has money invested with them. So I'm investing in value stocks that pay nice fat dividends higher than the S&P 500 and raise those dividends. And then on now, some of those are like energy stocks, which I want to be in anyway. And you know, when the market does have brief rallies, which any bear market will have, that's when you add ETFs that are inverse the broad market.
We'll have more with Sean Broadbrick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, Tesla is laying off 200 people from its autopilot division, the self-driving car side of the business. Are self-driving cars just something we would have liked but just aren't going to happen anytime soon?
Oh, they'll happen, just not from Tesla.
Yeah.
Those guys are too scatterbrained to actually organize this thing. They've been bleeding people from their self-driving car division for quite some time. So finally, I think Elon Musk woke up and realized all the best people are gone. So what he's going to do is lay people off, and then when the technology finally gets developed, he'll just buy it from someone else, which makes sense from a point of view of, like, investment capital. He has other things he should be spending his time and money on. We'll still have it. It'll come from, Ford, GM, Volkswagen. They'll have self-driving cars. They have people working on it. Toyota has a bunch of people working on this as well. So, we will have self-driving cars, just Tesla won't lead the way.
Do you think people will trust them? The people who do have semi-self-driving cars are sleeping going down the freeway already.
Yeah, that should scare the heck out of anybody, right? I mean, that's not good. I would like a car that was completely self-driving. I would enjoy the heck out of that. There's a lot of books I want to catch up on, you know? So I'd be happy with that, but even after I do get a car that they say, oh, you know, this is self-driving now, and let's say that's 10 years in the future. Let's say it happens. I'll still be petrified because I'm an angry old cuss, and I won't trust the machine to do it. But some people are way too trusting in machines, which makes it more dangerous for the rest of us out there. I mean, I live in Florida. Driving on Florida roads is something out of Mad Max anyway. I mean, it's just terrible down here. I can't imagine trusting a self-driving car in that situation simply because other drivers are so freaking terrible on these highways. So that's something we'll have to work out. But you know what? We worked it out over time when cars came along and replaced horses. There were laws passed against cars going through intersections without stopping and, like, stuff like that, because they considered them a menace. So people have to adapt to the new technology. It'll take time, but it'll get there eventually.
Yeah, in Britain, back in the 30s, before they brought in driver's licenses, 9,000 pedestrians a year were being killed just because the drivers didn't need any training.
Well, believe me, on South Florida roads, there are plenty of drivers who don't have training. We import them directly from the islands, and man, do they love to drive, and are they terrible at it?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, we put up with stuff down here that just great. You just have to be more careful. That's all, and this will not be an overnight transition.
What's going on with battery metals right now?
Still the same old, same old. Goldman Sachs seems to be at war with the world. They believe that the prices of battery metals will be going down, and it seems like Wall Street listens to Goldman Sachs, but one industry leader after another is coming out and saying Goldman Sachs is just full of it. You know, prices will not be going down, not in any appreciable way. We'll have, you know, lumps, you know, moves up, moves down, but the general trend in battery metals is higher. So I don't know why Goldman Sachs has, like, staked out this hill to die on. Maybe they're front running whatever they're doing. I have no idea. Maybe they just want battery metal stocks to get down cheap enough they can pick them up for a song. But look at the big EV trend. It's not going away. And, we'll have a lot more demand for that as well. And of course, it's not just lithium. It's copper. It's nickel. It's you name it. So many things are in battery metals. And of course, it all depends on the battery you get, and they're trying new batteries all the time. So things will come in and out of, like, you know, what actually needs to be in a battery. So it's all in flux, too. But I expect the trend across battery metals, not for all of them, but across the group, will remain bullish and remain higher.
Anything going on with uranium?
No. We are seeing some stuff that should be bullish for the market out of the White House and out of Germany and stuff like that, but it hasn't woken up to it yet. You know, I mean, I have one uranium position left. The rest were out of, I would love it if that position takes off. But I'm not going to be like many of the fine people I follow on Twitter who are very smart people who live and breathe this stuff. There are other places to make money. And so that's what I'm doing right now.
What are those other places?
Oil and gas.
Basically. Oil and gas.
And also, we've had some nice gains again in, high dividend stocks. Not necessarily aristocrats, though the dividend aristocrats have been doing pretty well too. Actually, let me take that back. Yeah, we've been doing well in the dividend aristocrats too. But high dividend stocks, because they can still compete with the higher bond yield. You know, they look attractive. Now, they have to be in a business that isn't going to fall apart. And many people are pricing in a recession. Though I'll admit the possibility is out there, but people have priced in a recession way too fast. So, there's some potential for a rally in those stocks there. So, what I'm looking or expecting going forward is much more volatility. I expect we're still in a bear market, so we'll see brief rallies like we just saw, and they'll be sharp, because rallies in a bear market, this is the weird thing, right? Rallies in a bear market are bigger than rallies in a bull market. It blows people's minds, but it's because everyone gets short, and they have to cover those short positions, so you can see things blast up. But the general trend will be lower. It'll be a grind. The best time to actually buy stocks is when you aren't interested in them anymore. We haven't gotten to that point yet, so I think that's still further ahead of us.
Anything happening in the marijuana space?
Misery and mayhem. You know, I mean, that portfolio isn't actually doing badly lately, but I don't have any marijuana growers in it anymore. You know, so I instead have peripheral stocks, stocks that are tangentially related, and I also have some bearish hedge ETFs. So, you know, it's okay, but we just aren't seeing the movement in that industry that we want. Will things change? I hope they change. You know, I mean, in my personal portfolio, I have cannabis stocks. Sometimes I look at them if I need a good cry. But, you know, I mean, we just aren't seeing the attractiveness in there, which is weird because, yeah, there's a lot of marijuana stocks that are crap and that will be hurt by higher interest rates, just like many of the high-flying tech stocks. That's true. But there are some great, there's a great core of marijuana companies that have cash flow, that either have earnings or will soon have earnings, that are still seeing revenues go higher and higher. And, you know, I mean, I think that industry should do well in the future. I just don't know when that future is.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. It's been great.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.